ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all your curly questions.
Hello, Jo.
How are you, my friend?
I have to say that the thunder and lightning we had last night was fairly spectacular.
I slept through it. I got to work. Slim and Ebs were like, how was that thunder? I thought, I did notice the clothes were kind of blown around a little bit out the back. But
yeah, I thought at first, that's a very low-flying plane. And then I saw a great amount of light flashing before my eyes and my massive lemon-scented gum is peeling all its bark off at the moment. So all the neighbours got all that as well. That's what I like to share. I do like to share.
You do like to share indeed. And you are here to share your knowledge, which is great. This weather more in the kind of southern part of the state is a bit like, woo, but it is good for the garden.
Ah, my goodness, it's sensational. And the most beautiful, beautiful thing happened to me this morning. A lovely listener, dedicated Roots and Shoots listener. They do all the pea straw. And she said, I want to thank you for all the years that you've helped me in my garden. And she bought me a whole big ute full of
pea straw.
Yeah.
Oh.
What a darling.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Thank you, Di.
That is lovely.
And actually my favourite wine as well to boot. And a dozen duck eggs.
Duck eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, God, don't tell my youngest. She'll want to put them in the incubator thing and hatch them. She found these dove eggs in the mother had abandoned them.
Yeah, well, they're pretty useless.
Well, they've been sitting on our kitchen counter in a, what do you call the thing that you put the eggs in to hatch them? Incubator.
Yeah, incubator.
Is that right, though?
Yes.
Anyway, enough of that. That is lovely.
Well,
that,
I'm going to eat these. So they're not fertilized.
You're not going to have
them. They're unfertilized eggs.
Enjoy your duck eggs.
I will.
Now, Lynn is in Busselton and has patiently been waiting. Good afternoon, Lynn.
Good afternoon and thank you. I need a very fast growing deciduous tree because I'm 70 and I want to see it tall before I can.
You've got decades, Lynn. Decades.
Lynn, I am nearly 70 and I still put in bloody tube stock. But they're native ones and they're fast growing. Okay, so super fast growing deciduous trees. You've got the Circus.
Because I'm cutting down the Gleditsia because I'm sick to death of having to deal with suckers.
All the suckers and seeds and things. Yep. Okay, yes. So you've got Circus, C-E-R-C-I-S.
Yes.
Even though crepe myrtles, they say, are slow, they're actually only slow for the first 2 years and then they fairly go bazonkers.
And if you give them a real prune and think you've killed them,
they come back.
They go bananas.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Sounds like someone's done that.
Yep. don't go down the ornamental pear road because they sucker really badly. Seriously, Circus and the crepe myrtles, I reckon, are going to be the go for you.
Thank you so much.
Righty-ho.
I will live to see them as mature.
You will, Lynn. I promise you, you will.
Oh, gorgeous. Happy planting, Lynn. Happy planting. Okay, I think Greg's got an issue with a creeping fig. Is that right, Greg?
That's right, yeah. G'day, Sabrina. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, my wife planted this a couple of years ago and it's developing spread nicely over our garden wall, but it is developing at one of its roots like a sort of a mouldy powder, which she's trimmed back, got rid of the excess growth around it, try and get some sunlight in there. Any ideas on a treatment for that, Sabrina?
Ah, the old reciprocating soil. We don't want to go down that aisle.
No, the
high-pressure hose, Craig.
Oh, okay.
So if you... If you if you get a soap-based spray first, so you're going to spray the whole fig with that first, then you're going to leave it on there for between 3 and 5 days, and then you're going to high-pressure hose that off. Now, because it's a potassium soap-based spray, that sticks to the leaf, but when you high-pressure hose it, it'll take off all the it won't be powdery mildew, it'll be sooty mould that it's got.
Yeah.
And that should do the trick. Don't be too frightened with the high-pressure hose.
Well, you're not talking pressure cleaner. You're just talking...
Yeah, I'm talking pressure cleaner, Greg. A pressure cleaner. Yeah. Go in. Go in like you're...
Going
about
hard?
Into battle. Into battle.
Go hard or go home.
Any backup treatments or just...
You may need to do that twice, but at 2 weekly intervals.
So it's not going to respond to a fungicide.
Wow, not sooty mould because you've got sooty mould because of a different reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's start down in Esperance. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. It's Esperance has a plague of white butterflies, very widespread.
Oh.
I want to know what the caterpillar looks like so I know what to look for.
Okay. So with the white butterfly, not the moth, but the butterfly, it's a very fine, thin caterpillar. So it has clasping front and hind legs.
What colour?
They're called anal clasp. In fact, that's their true name.
We've heard about scrotox today and now we're hearing about anal clusters. What's going on?
But they're really fine and thin, Elizabeth, so they're quite hard to see. And they do that big caterpillar loop like the hungry caterpillar. And they're on the underside of the leaves. The eggs are little clusters, usually between 5 and 7, and they're pale, sort of a creamy colour and very small. So,
in other words, I won't be able to see a bloody thing.
No, well, you're a bit like me, Elizabeth. I have to put my glasses on to find the little buggers.
Oh, I need magnifying glasses to see my phone.
They're so difficult to find. But
I will feel them.
You will feel them. Feel and squish is what I say.
Yeah, that's it.
I reckon, Elizabeth, you should set some grandkids or some young people in your community out and reward them, I don't know, with some baked goods and see who can collect the most. Set a challenge.
My grandkids are chasing their own caterpillars and my great-grandies are too little.
Well, persevere, I reckon.
Good luck, Elizabeth.
You'd be a force to be reckoned with. So there we go. Linda's in Auburn Grove. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good.
That's good. So I'm just wondering if it's possible to transplant a Rhapsiolepis. And I know that you can do Agapanthus. It's a terrible timing, but the Rhapsiolepis is probably about 1.2 metres.
Yep.
And I'm just wanting to transplant it from the front to the back.
Okay. So I want you to take 0.2 of a metre off those. And do you know what? They transplant really well, Linda.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I know that it's a bit warm, but I don't think it's going to be 30 for
a while. Tomorrow you're in Perth, aren't you, Auburn Grove? Yeah. So tomorrow's only 25. Yeah. So I think you're
perfect. Perfect. Just make sure that you keep the water up for it, Linda. And they transplant really well. But I want you to do top and side pruning before you lift them up.
Fantastic. Just while we're talking transplanting, very quickly, Anne says, can you transplant lily pillies, 1 to 2 metre tall and 2 years old? Is that doable?
Absolutely. Lily pillies transplant, again, always prune before you dig up and move.
Fantastic. Kate's in Mount Lawley. What's happening with your sweet peas?
Well, they're about 7 or 8 feet tall and lush green leaves and pathetic little tiny, very few flowers.
Well, that's
and I've been gathering rainwater all winter in buckets and giving them that, and also my worm farm liquid occasionally, and other food stuff.
You want the beautiful flowers, not the big leaves.
Yeah, no.
So I think what's happened here, Kate, is they've gone, oh, life's pretty good. We've got all this beautiful nitrogen and stuff. We're just going to grow and we're just not going to give you any sweet peas. Now, what you can do is you can go and buy some liquid potassium and then spray the sweet peas. It's probably a bit late, but spray them and see how that goes. The next time you plant your sweet peas out, make sure you put sulfate of potash in the rill where you're putting the seed.
Right.
Yeah, but it may be a bit late, Kate.
Yes, I think it is now. Yes, yeah. I just wonder what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah, okay, I think they're not getting enough potassium. That's the trouble.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're going to have to be patient, Kate, and hope for more success next year. Good afternoon, Jenny. What's happening?
Hello. Sabrina, hello. I've been running you many times before. Hello. I'm just driving into 2J about to fill up our firefighting unit with water. I'm watching the big dark grey clouds overhead, hoping they're going to help us out.
Oh, Jenny, are you the one who sent through your Silver Princess photos?
Yes. And the macrocarpa.
And the macrocarpa. Ah. Yes. So,
They're not munted, but they're close to what we're calling.
Well, if it makes you feel any better... Oh, you've got a lovely native hoverfly on there. Oh, well done.
I have indeed. I've got everything up there.
Yeah. Anyway, to make you feel better, macrocarpas are notoriously slow because they like to develop a pretty good root system before they start growing. And in actual fact, a slow growth is better than a fast growth with macrocarpa because they get less wibbly wobbly. Which is what happens to me sometimes on a Friday night. So I think what you've done deep planting, which is what you meant to do. It looks really healthy. I would not worry about it at all. I think that slow growth is good growth for the macrocarpa.
Can you tell me my neighbour swears by her alpaca poo? Is that okay on natives or not?
I would say so. I mean, there's not much when you look at what alpacas eat. You know, as long as it's not too much, well, there's hardly any phosphorus in it at all, so that's safe, and it would be very slow release nitrogen. But I'd only put a little bit around at this point in time.
All right, quick question with that as well. Can I use that alpaca poo now on my stone fruit trees? They've got lovely fruit developing.
Absolutely.
Putting more on? Okay,
yeah,
beautiful.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. It's looking very threatening here. I hope we get an absolute
downpour. Oh, I hope you
get
a downpour, Jenny. I do hope so.
Do your rain dance. I think you will. I mean, it's even dark down here and we're a good way from the wheat belt. Now, just quickly, I'm going to come to your call, Janet, in two ticks. Yes. A question for you about yellow kwandongs on a tree, identical to the red fruited ones. Are the yellow ones edible?
Absolutely. If it is a true kwandong.
Condom jam. Have I told you about the condom jam before that my stepfather used to make?
Oh,
kwandong
you?
Jam. And we all used to think he was talking about condom jam.
Well, less appetizing by the sound of it, but you know.
Bit chewy.
Nothing like recycling, I say.
You can eat the yellow ones?
Now, because there's a huge variation in kwandongs, probably as much as there are in condoms, but these ones don't sparkle or glow in the dark. So you will get yellow ones. And, yes, they are as edible as the red ones, not the ones that glow in the dark. But the red, yes. Basically, yes.
You're saying yes. Yes.
Yes, you can.
Let's move on. Oh, my goodness. Janet, sorry. Woodlands, Janet. What's happening with your fern?
Oh, my fern is dead. It died
over.
Oh, my God.
The white fungal disease, it got right down into the roots of it. I think my problem is it was in a massive pot in a hell of a lot of dirt.
Right.
And very, very heavy, so I'm reluctant to just plant anything into it unless I can cure the soil, or do I have to actually get rid of it all?
Do you know what, Janet? I'd get rid of the soil. I know. Okay. It's a bit of a bugger. Even if you just get take like the first 15, if you can take the first 15 centimetres out.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Oh, well, I can do bucket by bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the go. And then you don't have to go to the gym and do any weightlifting, weight-bearing exercises.
No, no, I don't know.
Because that's going to sort you out there.
Right, yeah, that's true.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's best to do that.
Good luck with that, Janet. Laurie just said his bankers weren't happy after they applied alpaca poo.
But Banksias are so a whole different ball game.
Okay.
Banksias you don't do anything with. You don't even speak to them, Jo.
Okay.
You have to ignore them totally and completely and fully.
They're so tricky. I've got one that looks like it's on the brink. And anyway, let's not go there. Mm. Hey, someone wants to see you. Someone's very excited to see you, Sabby, in Wongan Hills.
Bo is the kid that rang on Roots and Shoots on the weekend with a really fantastic question about his lime tree that was turning into a different tree. So we went into the talk about genetics, about how your grandparents have an effect on what you look like and what you do. And he was exceptional. So when I did the gig up at Wongan Hills, Bo and his dad came to meet me.
Oh, gorgeous.
And he's a beautiful, beautiful boy and really into gardening.
Good on you, Bo. You've made Sabby's day.
Yeah.
Week even.
Yeah.
Week even. Okay, let's go to West Leedy. G'day, Jim.
G'day, how are you?
Good. What's going on in the background? Is that a motorbike or a...
Oh, no, sorry, I'm towing a trailer. It's making a bit of noise. Sorry about that.
That's all right. What's in the back of your trailer? Poo? Have you
I'm
got sheep poo?
I'm taking it back to my son, Sabrina. I borrowed it, so I'm just taking it back.
Oh,
Sabrina,
right.
Sabrina, I've got a real issue here. I've got a beautiful garden with a lovely big composter with one of those black bins full of... I looked at it on the weekend and it's got this beautiful compost in it. There's worms in it. It's really good. And I'm not very tall. I'm only what 1.7 metres. My wife thinks I'm very short. If I put some of that on my Weet-Bix, would I grow?
Well, something's definitely going to grow inside your stomach. That's for sure. Because worms are full of goodness. So if you in the dirt, if you put that on your Weet-Bix, I recommend that you throw a few worms in there as well, because I reckon they do you a treat.
You up for the challenge, Jim?
I love your show. And you know what, Sabrina? I love your laugh. I think it's absolutely infectious.
Ah, Jim, you're an angel.
And you keep laughing, love, because I tell you what, there's not enough of that in the world these days.
I totally agree with you, Jim.
And I think we just got to laugh. That's why I rang you up, just to have a laugh. That's all.
Jim, you are a champion. What a champ.
What a gorgeous bloke. Now, also in West Leedy, there were a whole bunch of plants stolen. A lovely lady planted them. You know how they're all the alleys and so forth in those older suburbs? And some awful person came and took them all out. Why do people keep doing this?
It's happening more and more.
Yeah.
It's so selfish. The other thing is the likelihood of a lot of those plants surviving is minimal.
Yeah, it's just...
So you're people are trying to beautify their neighbourhood, make it cooler, make it greener, make it more inviting, and then you get people that go and do stuff like that.
Yeah.
We should plant them sort of from the waist down.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, maybe put some poo on their head.
Yep. Or some condom jam.
Sandy wants to know what to spray her grapevine. She's got some small dark green caterpillars the last few days.
Ah, well.
Looks pretty healthy otherwise.
Welcome to the world of caterpillar season. So you can spray. There is a bacteria spray that you can spray. Now, remember, caterpillars, they're not silly. They know to be on the underside of the leaf so birds don't eat them. So you need to spray on the underside of the leaf, and there is a spray specifically for caterpillars, and it is a bacteria. So if you go to your nursery and you ask for a caterpillar-specific bacterial spray, they will give you the goods, and it doesn't harm anything else. So if the birds eat the dead caterpillars, it's not going to harm them.
Okay, a quick question from Liz in Warwick. How can she stop her baby pomegranates from dropping off at grape size?
More potassium, I would spray liquid potassium on them.
Okay. Helen is in Subi and she says, is it a prunus tree? Going to the front garden, full sun, 2 metres from the house and front fence, and she's really after flowers, colour, sustainability and nothing too temperamental.
Okay. So if it is, the ornamental plums are very safe to have that close to a house and a front fence. And the new flowering plums flower for much longer and they're a beautiful tree and have lovely leaves.
There you go, right. Helen. Mark is in Capel and his chocos have spots. What's going on?
Oh, you've got powdery mildew. He's not ringing.
Sorry.
It's a text question. Yes. Okay, so... actually, that could be the spotting looks like a leaf miner is eating the chlorophyll from the leaf. Now, the thing that'll be doing that is a caterpillar. So get the bacteria spray. I thought it was powdery mildew, but it doesn't look like it.
Well, MT's just said unusually big caterpillar season out in the vineyards of the Swan Valley this year, and they have been blasting that product too. So it sounds like everybody may as well. Get onto that. Thanks for that, Matt.
And I've noticed it in my garden, all the anal claspers, they're fairly going for it, Joe.
Good. Mm. No, that's not good at all. Nothing good about that.
I just squish them. I go around squishing in the morning.
Okay. So many lily-pilly questions. I better go to the call. Sorry. Greg is – oh, what's going on with your lawn, Greg? G'day, Greg.
Yeah, g'day. Good afternoon, Joe and Sabrina. I've got a patch of lawn which is shaded, but we need it because we have dogs.
Yeah.
And we've planted some low-light fescue grass, which is doing its best, but I'm worried about after this summer. It's coming good now because the sun's higher in the sky.
Yeah.
But I know in winter it's all just going to turn to clover and be a mess, and I'll cop all the abuse for liking lawn too much. So. I do have a overhanging second story, which I was thinking of adding a couple of grow lights, and I sort of thought you might be a hydro girl from way back. You might be able to tell me a bit about hydroponic lights. If I put some under there, would they, it's about 3 metres from the lawn, but it is overhanging the lawn, which is part of the lawn's dying, of course. If I got some powerful lights and just hooked them up so they ran during the day when electricity is cheap, would it work?
It would definitely help. It's not going to work as well as sunlight would. Or the other thing you can do, Greg, is you can oversow those patches with dichondra. So dichondra is a little ground cover, comes from Queensland, and it works beautifully in the shade. And it actually is a companion plant to lawn.
And it spreads really quickly, I've noticed.
It spreads quickly. You walk all over it. You can mow it like you do your lawn. That's going to be a lot less hassle for you. The grow lights actually use a bit of electricity, but as you say, you'll do it during the day when you're generating power. I would just oversow those patches with dichondra.
Yeah, the dogs will like that. That'll work, I reckon.
Yeah,
good,
it's
thinking.
Nice and soft.
Lateral thinking, Sabby. Joe's in Two Rocks. What do you want to prune, Joe?
Hi, Sabrina. I've got a... old callistemon. I'm pretty close to the ocean, so one side of it's gotten a little beat up and it's a bit dead on one side, but it's got to be 4 or 5 metres high.
Yep.
And it's old, and I don't know how much I can take off it without killing it.
Oh, you can take a couple of metres off, Joe.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Yay. My husband has a chainsaw.
He's going to love it. That's going to make his day.
It will. I can tell he's going to be excited. Thank you very much.
Okay, Joanne.
Now, Sarah is in Kalamunda and I think she wants to do something with her honky nuts. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. What do you want to do with them?
Hi, Sab. Well, what I would like to do is repurpose them for the wastage for the cockies. So I've got millions all over the block.
Yeah.
You know, and they're chucking them down at the moment, which is great.
Yeah.
But there's so much wastage. There's so much seed still in some of them. So what do you reckon? Rather than chucking them on the fire or in the FOGO bin or whatever, what do you reckon about putting them back up on a perch? Is there some kind of technique that would work?
I would put them up on a perch. I reckon that is a brilliant idea, Sarah. And the seed will stay in there for quite a while. So now, remember that the cockies need to be able to see where they're going to land. So something the size of a bird bath is a really great size, or a big tray.
How high?
It will need to be about 2 metres, 1.5 to 2 metres high.
Right.
Now, what they'll do is they won't come at first. They'll send some scouts around because they need to know it's safe. But they're already there in your garden. So you know that they're there, and it may take them a little while to figure out that they're the nuts that they're eating that are now on a flat tray or whatever. And they also need a perch. So somewhere near the tray or the bird bath that you've got, you'll need a perch for them to sit on, which is just tying some branches together near the tray.
Do you think they need sort of clear air to get in, or can I put them sort of where the branches of the marys are around?
Yep, just put them where the branches of the marys are around.
Okay.
Oh, you good person, Sarah. You very, very good person. That's so lovely. Good afternoon, Carrie. I think something's happening with your frangipani.
Yes. Hi, Sabrina. I've got a frangipani tree in a pot. It's about 1.5 metres tall. I want to plant it in the garden. But where I want to plant it, we used to have a bottlebrush tree, which has been completely removed, including the stump. But it's left the soil with like a sawdusty, like, type consistency from the ground. Would that be suitable?
Absolutely. Just go and get yourself a bag of compost, mix that in with it, bit of blood and bone, put that around where the sawdusty stuff is, and your frangipani will grow really well.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Let's try and squeeze one more call in. Julie's in Churchlands. What's happening, Julie?
Hello, Joe and Sabrina. Just want some advice. I've got an Eremophila pink panther that I put in last autumn, and it's doing really well.
Yeah.
How much can I cut that back? Because some of it's looking a little bit straggly.
Yeah, they do, unless you prune them. It's a couple of times a year, you need to take a third off, Julie.
And can I, there's one sort of stem that's sort of quite bare, quite woody and bare, and then it branches out again. Can I cut back into that?
Absolutely, you can. Definitely. Though that stream of Eremophilus, you can actually prune quite hard.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. There we go. You've solved all the problems.
Wow, I'm exhausted now. Oh,
you are a good, good person. Sabby, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll chat again next week.
We will indeed.
See you later.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.